We certainly do have a lot to be thankful for, and a lot of it's sitting here in this room. And I can't express to you exactly how we feel tonight. We're overwhelmed with emotion and faithfulness. I think that's a way to describe Landmark Baptist Church, faithful. Same people, week in and week out. You know, you come in and you see it, it's exciting to be here, preacher, and you know the monotony sets in, week in and week out and week out. Don't ever get weary in well-doing. I tell you what, when we get to heaven, that faithfulness will be rewarded and God will be pleased, and I know He is. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 17. And I want to send greetings from Pastor Paul Harvey. We know him as Pastor Paul Harvey. He's our assistant pastor. In fact, while I'm preaching here, he's preaching for me at our church there. And God has led him there. He's been full-time staff for 2 years now, been in the ministry there for 3 years. And God has blessed our church through his family coming. And I've been spoiled, I should say, because a lot of the things that take place, and preacher would know this, happen behind the scenes, and he's doing the nitty-gritty, and I get all the credit for it at the end of the day, and I keep telling people, no, it's not me, it's Pastor Paul, but I appreciate the Lord sending him our way, and of course the Ogdens are our way as well. And someone had asked if I'm going to do the Jack Nixon impression there when I had done that last time I was here. I can't do the Jack Nixon or Bob Ogden because Bob Ogden's in our church now, and so I'd lose a special, so I won't do either of those tonight, but I'm glad to have the Harveys and the Ogdens, and of course my parents are that way as well, so we do have a little landmark, if you will, in Ohio. And we invite each of you to come by and visit us if you're in that way. You'll have to be there intentionally. We're in a little town of about 650 people. We're right off the interstate, but there's nothing there. There's a little light. It's the town of Port Washington. And even people in the neighboring cities have no idea where Port Washington is. So I won't be surprised if someone here doesn't as well. But it's an honor to be where we are and just to be able to represent Landmark Baptist Church and take what we've learned and initiate it there. And that's what we're doing there. And then another blessing. I don't want to ramble too much, but another blessing this morning. My dad got me this morning and said there was a Romanian lady in the back of the foyer there. And there was a Romanian lady and two children, and they didn't speak English. And so here I'm here on a Sunday morning speaking Romanian in the back foyer there. And so that was a blessing to see that. And I'm sure Jeremiah, I don't know where Jeremiah Morgan is. I'm sure he could have done a better job than me, but I don't know where he's. Is he here tonight? Does he come to church anymore? Okay, there he is. All right, we're good. You got a present for church service tonight, attendance. Amen. It's good to see young people having kids. I tell you, wow, the people, in fact, his wife would have been in my wife's third grade class in school. I think they were divided into two classes, and she had the other class, but my wife would have been her teacher back then. So it's a small world, and time certainly is flying. Isaiah chapter number 17, I want to bring a message if I can, if the Lord's help, and it's something that's been a burden to me, and it's been on my heart, and of course now as a pastor for 4 years, the Lord kind of gives you that burden, and my burden is found here in Isaiah chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible reads, "The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Orior are forsaken. They shall be for flocks which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim and the kingdom of Damascus, the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax thin. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathered the corn, and reapeth the ears with his arm. And it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grape shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uttermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God of Israel. At that day shall a man look at his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars, the work of their hands, neither shall respect that which was his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bow, and an uppermost branch, which they have left because the children of Israel, and they shall be desolation." Here's the reason. "Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and set it with strange slips. In that day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish.
But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and a desperate sorrow. I want to talk this morning, this evening, on the subject of there's flowers in the garden. There are flowers in the garden. You see the picture that God is painting, and God's very good at painting pictures and helping his people understand. In this case, he's reaching out to them, and they have wandered away. And isn't it so true today that we're still prone to wander, as the songwriter says? And we want to serve God, and we've got the zeal, but we just got to get weary in well-doing. We kind of prone to wander, as the psalmist said. But here we see God reaching out to the people who have wandered. And he says this. He says, you're like a field, and you're like a garden, and I go to get my fruit. And by the way, God looks for fruit in our lives. And he goes to look for fruit, and he says, you're like the gleaning grapes. All that's left are the fragments. It's as if the harvestmen have already come, and they've gathered all the fruit, and now I'm coming to get the fruit that's coming to the Lord. And he comes to gather that fruit, and all that's left is the gleaning grapes. And the Lord is describing the situation. He's here. He says, it's a ruinous heap. It's destroyed. What once was beautiful, God's people, now not serving him. The Bible says the glory of Jacob made thin, and the gleaning grapes are left. They have forgotten God. And by the way, when you wander off and you begin to backslide and your relationship with the Lord begins to grow cold, you'll notice the fruit's the very first thing that starts to fail. And we'll lay a little foundation, and then we'll make some points, if you'll bear with me, as we lay the foundation this morning. But I can apply, I believe, biblically, as I look at it, our country, the United States of America, I can see what once was bringing glory to God is now waxing thin. Where there once was an abundance of fruit, and churches were filled, and people were on fire for God, and those old-time revivals, I believe we could still have them. The problem is, as God steps out to get his fruit, all that's left is a ruinous heap. All that's left are a few dried up grapes, and we'll see this as we go just a little further. If you can hold your place here, but turn to Micah chapter number 7. Micah's a hard one to find. I describe it like Port Washington. If you're not careful, you'll pass right through it and never know you went through it. Micah chapter number 7, look at verse number 1. God wants fruit. God wants you to be fruitful in your relationship with him. He wants to be pleased with your life. Micah chapter 7, verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. Now watch what it says. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Here in our passage, he steps out to get the fruit, but the fruit's gone, and all that's left is the leftovers. That describes Christianity today in our Laodicean age that we live. We give God a little bit, so we don't really feel bad, but all we're giving God is leftover. And God says, no, I've stepped out. I wanted the best that your life could offer. And all you can do is tip your hat on Sunday morning and say, here, Lord, this is for you. The rest of the week is mine. And we see this taking place, going through, as we're understanding what God is trying to say to the people here of Damascus and of Ephraim and the people. He's trying to gather their attention. He's painted the picture of a shriveled up, dried up garden with just a few dried up grapes left. I think of gardens in Ohio. In Ohio, where we are, we're right in a cornfield. A countryside is our name. We literally are in a countryside where our town population is 600. We're just a little place out in the middle of nowhere. But we have gardens, and everybody there either hunts or has gardens or animals and so forth. And I remember one time I was going to the Smith's house, and they lived in Findlay, and we were visiting the Smith's house there. And in their backyard, they had a little flower bed, and amongst the flowers were some plants and vegetables, and I don't remember what kind of garden they had, but some bell peppers and tomatoes or something of that sort. And I remember I walked back there, and they were pointing out the garden and how beautiful it was, and they had gone in the house, and so I went over there, and I grabbed a bell pepper of some sort, and I grabbed it, and I started eating it, and it was good. And next thing I know, Mom Smith comes around the corner. She says, now, don't eat the vegetables because we've sprayed, and I'll try to be polite here, a bodily fluid from animals on the vegetables so that it keeps the animals away. And I thought, oh, I just eaten the whole pepper. And I'm thinking, oh, who knows what I've just eaten. You know, there's nothing like going to a fresh garden patch and picking something and eating it. And God says, I'm like the person looking for the fruit. There's just nothing there. And we see this coming up, and we see it gets worse, because now look at verse number 10, if you will, if you'll go back to our text in Isaiah 17. In verse number 10, it says, they've forgotten God. Look at verse number 11. He says, in the day thou shalt make thy plant to grow, and in the morning thou shalt make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. He says here in verse number 10 and verse number 11, as we begin to see and unfold what's actually taking place, the part where it gets worse is not only is there no fruit, but now God's people, instead of planting fruit, they're planting pleasant plants. They're planting, if you will, flowers. And so here, God's people, supposed to be doing God's work, supposed to be bringing fruit that God can reach down and say, I want the first fruit. I want the beautiful grapes that are first grown in this garden. And he comes down, and all there are dried up, shriveled grapes. But now God's people, it's not like they've run away and closed the doors and run off from God and living in the world. No, God's people are still doing what they've always done. The only difference is now they're planting flowers. And God says, you're planting beautiful plants, but when it's time to reap, there'll be nothing left. And I fear that churches across America are busy doing nothing, busy doing things that I would describe as flowers while people are dying and going to hell. When God looks down from the banister of heaven and he's looking for what the church should be producing, and all we have is a church filled with beautiful flowers. You think of the disciples, look at our building. Look at this temple. And Jesus says, this can be destroyed in 3 days, yet I'll rise it again. I remember Dr. Carter, one thing I learned here at Landmark Baptist Church, it's practical. Practical. We did the addition. I remember back then for the addition, and everybody was excited. It was an exciting time. The church was going to expand, and we were excited about that. And I remember Dr. Carter said this. He got up and said, we're going to do a nice job, but it's going to be practical. We're not going to waste money. We got our priorities straight. It's not about the building. It's not about the chandelier. It's not about how beautiful the flower garden is. It's about reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. This same application's found when Jesus reaches out to the church of Laodicea and he says, you're rich and increased with goods. That's flowers. Amen. You have need of nothing. Oh, everything's beautiful. He says, but you don't really know that you're naked and blind and wretched. And he's beginning to describe them spiritually as he says, you look beautiful, but there's no value to what you're doing. I still believe God honors old-fashioned preaching. I believe God honors old-fashioned stand for the King James Bible. And you know, it's amazing how rare it is to find people who are true King James Bible believers. As a preacher, I'm running more and more into it. They'll call you up as missionary or evangelist, and we'll ask the question. We don't have too many requirements. You just got to be right on the King James Bible. Can we start right there? Amen. And they'll say, well, I'll say, what do you believe about the King James Bible? And they'll say, well, that's what we use. Yeah. That didn't answer the question. What do you believe about the King James Bible? How many understand this book is perfect, inspired, infallible, inerrant? And if you can't have faith in the Word of God, how can you stand there and proclaim the truths without compromise if you've got doubt in the pages of Scripture? I believe God blesses that. Yet our churches today, we've kind of wandered away from doctrine and we've gone into the flowery of things. And God's looking for substance in the church, and all we have is just superficial ministries, bingo night. Do we have bingo night here? Raffles. Did you get your raffle ticket? All those things. Aren't you glad for Landmark Baptist Church? God says, he's talking to his people here. He says, it's not that they quit serving him. It's just now instead of planting what he asked to be planted, they're planting flowers. Walk with me, if you will, through Scripture. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at flowers in Scripture. And I don't want to waste too much time here. We'll get the point and then we'll make our application here in just a moment. We're going to find flowers in Scripture. A lot is said about flowers. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 24. The Bible reads, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. He says, look, the glory of man is a flower. What people think is a flower, what's going to last forever is the word of God. And turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 40. Let's look at a few things here as we're finding flower. Flower in Scripture, the glory of man is just a flower. It's beautiful for a moment, and then it's gone. By the way, teenagers, when you're a teenager, those flowers look so beautiful. Everybody else's life, and oh man, you want their opinion, you want their approval, you want to be like them. But isn't it how amazing how fast those flowers wilt? And you look back and think, boy, I'm glad I didn't go the direction that they went. Boy, I'm glad I followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm glad Christ was first. Listen, can I encourage you tonight? Don't get jealous of the flowers. It'll just pass away. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? What's the message? Well, here it is. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Can you see what God's calling out to his creation over and over and over? Listen, the grass, the flower, the beauty, the vainglory of man, it's going to be gone one day, and you're going to wish you did something for the Lord. And so as we look spiritually inward and we look at our life, and our lives are busy. I imagine everyone here tonight has a busy schedule. I'm one that I like a busy schedule. I can't sit around. I can't twiddle my thumbs. I got to be doing something, and I'm busy, but if we're not careful, we're busy with flowers. And all we've done is wasted our time, and we'll stand before God saying, look at my life, and God says, I wanted fruit. I wanted something I could take. This is what I asked for, and all I've got is a renuous heap of flowers. I'll read to you Psalms 103. The Bible says in verse 13, and like the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. You'll find in Scripture, we won't turn there, in James, the Bible says riches are just a flower. Riches come, riches go. I learned that lesson real quick. I remember when I got my first job at Evans Market. I know it's not there anymore, but Brother Evans and Sister Evans there gave me my first job just down the road there at Evans Market. And I worked there for 4 years, enjoyed my time. I remember my first paycheck was $80. And you got to remember, I had no allowance. My parents didn't know what allowance was. My kids don't know what allowance is, and so don't help them out either. Amen. I didn't know what allowance was. We got $20 or something on birthday, so I'd never had $80 at one time. And I remember as a kid getting my first paycheck, And I was so excited. $80. What in the world am I going to spend it on? And then the thought came to my mind, I get another $80 in another week. How in the world can I possibly spend it all? And then I started doing the math. And boy, in a month, I'll have this much. And then next thing you know, it's all gone. And you wonder, how in the world are we making by? Money just goes so quickly, doesn't it? Boy, if I just get that promotion, man, all my bills will be paid. And then your bills still aren't paid. It's a flower. It's beautiful. It looks great, but it's gone. And God says riches are a flower. The Bible talks about the flower of age. Age is just a flower. How many of you can say, yeah, I'm on the wilting stage of the flower? I came this morning, I thought, wow, we got all new people here. And then I realized it's just the same people with older faces. Amen. You know, age tells on you, doesn't it? It catches up with you. It's just a flower. And when we're young, we think, boy, we're always going to feel this great, and we're always going to have this energy. We're not. We're not. We're running out. The clock's against us. My life verse is Psalms 104. And verse 33, the Bible says, I will sing unto the Lord while I have my being. I will sing praises unto my God. And that thought, while I have my being. You know, I'm young. People say, oh, you're doing too much. You know, I'm not always going to be young. I'm not always going to be able to keep this pace. I want to do as much as I can while I have my being, because one day I'm not going to have the energy. Our age is a flower. It's wilting. We see this. The Bible says that flowers are of no profit. Now, this every husband needs to know that verse. Come Valentine's Day. Now, this is my theory at our home. My wife doesn't agree. Maybe you can help her out tonight. We have artificial Christmas trees, don't we? I mean, we don't, but there are artificial Christmas trees, right? Why can't we do the same thing? Every year they pull out that artificial tree, they stick it in the living room, and they decorate it, right? Why can't you do the same thing on Valentine's Day and on Mother's Day? Get the artificial roses, get them out, stick them in the table, dust them off, and say Happy Valentine's Day, right? Doesn't quite work that way. They want the fresh flowers. But you know, all joking aside, flowers are vain. Flowers are empty. There's nothing, there's no profit to the flower. And God describes a life lived for oneself, selfishly,
as a flower. God describes a church who's lost its focus as a flower. God describes a ministry who's no longer planting and getting the gospel out. He describes it as a beautiful flower. It's wonderful, but there's no value. And God's looking for fruit, as we see through scriptures. I want to point out three things, and we're done this evening. Number one, I want to point out the similarities of a flower. The similarities of a flower. You know, if you're planting flowers or if you're planting vegetables and fruit, you're going through the same motion. Right. You're going to be digging. You're going to be pulling weeds. You're going to be caring for it. They're both going to take your time, and they're both going to be a busy work. I mean, it's not easy planting flowers. And in fact, anything I plant dies. Anybody else like that tonight? I'm not the only one. In fact, I'll be out pulling weeds, and I don't know if it's a flower or a weed. And one of my boys came to me one time, and I was pulling stuff, and they said, Dad, how do you know which one's the weed and which one's the plant? I said, I don't know. This is how I tell. If I pull and it comes out real quick, it was the flower. If I got a yank, it's the weed, right? And so I don't know it's the flower till it's too late and it's already out of the ground. But flowers, God says they're vain, they're empty. But the similarities, you know, a church could be planting flowers and not know it. A Christian could be busy for the Lord, planting flowers and not know it. It's so easy to get off track and not get focused on the things that God has given the church to do. The similarities of planting a flower and planting fruit. Then I want to point out here, number two, the selflessness of fruit. Turn, if you will, to Titus chapter 3. And this is probably why more flowers get planted than fruit. And this, the reason is because the flowers bring glory to the individual. Yeah. Look at how beautiful my life is. Look at all the things, and we'll use Christian lingo, God has blessed me with. Look at how good our church, our big our church is, and look at the attendance, and look at all these things, and I'm not against attendance, but that's not the focus of a church. The focus of a church is doing it God's way. Let God add to the church. He will. And it can be so easy. Look at the building. Look at the money. Look at the giving. Look at the missions. Look at all these things, and wow, the flowers are beautiful. Flowers bring pride to the individual. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Bible reads, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto who? Men. See, who is not about you anymore. Living for God no longer becomes about you. My pew, my parking spot, my special, this is my spot. No, we're if you're planting fruit, if you're doing what God has asked from you to do, now it's about others. It's about other people, profitable unto men. Verse 9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. See how easy it is to get into the gossip line, and how easy it is to get in the murmuring and the tearing down of other people, because all that does is make your flower look a little prettier, doesn't it? Look how beautiful my garden. Did you see theirs? Did you see what she planted? Who plants petunias or tulips? I don't even know my flowers. So who plants flowers? Those are ugly. And all we're doing is criticizing everybody else's garden, and it's making ours look good. But the Bible says here, what is profitable is when we as Christians maintain good works unto all men. You see the profit there. Of course, salvation in Titus chapter 3, we find, is not by works, but by his grace. Be careful on that. Right. Turn to James chapter number 2, verse number 14. James chapter number 2, verse number 14. The Bible says we ought to be worried about things that are profitable unto all men. We ought to be considering one another, edifying one another, encouraging one another, and keeping them in the ministry. It's not about your flower, it's about fruit for the Lord. Look at James chapter 2. And by the way, people turn to James all the time, and they'll preach works salvation. How many understand you're not saved by works? Amen. Good. I'm glad for that, because I wouldn't be saved tonight. But look at what James is really saying. Thinking about flowers, thinking about profit, thinking about grapes, thinking about fruit. Watch what he says in James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him?
If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Can you understand what he's saying? He's saying, if someone comes to you and they have a need and you say, oh, be warmed and fed, he said, what does it profit, not you, what does it profit them? You say you have faith and, well, you know, I'm going to heaven. It really doesn't matter if I go to church or not. And it really doesn't matter. He said, well, that's fine because we're going to heaven no matter how we live. Amen. Amen. But what does it profit your brother when you skimp out on the Christian life? When you miss out on church? By the way, parents learn this way too late. Yeah, you're saved, but what about your son? What about your daughter? And you live that frivolous life and you grow up and your kids are lost and it's too late trying to get them back. The Bible says, yeah, you don't have to do all that to be saved, but what does it profit your children? What does it profit that family? What does it profit the person sitting next to you? What does it profit your brother or sister in Christ when you live a life? Yeah, I can do whatever I want. Praise God for liberty that we have in Christ, but if you'll follow the scriptures, that's when fruit abounds. We see the similarities of the flower. We see how you can be so busy about doing the same thing, but really there's no eternal value to it. We see the selfishness of fruit. If you're going to do something for the Lord, it's not going to be about you. In fact, we say this all the time at our church. People, you might see signs, you know, so and such church, where everybody is somebody. How many of you know the church isn't about us? We're all nobodies. Church is where Jesus is somebody. In fact, in our church, we've old-fashioned fundamental, and there's a big mega church not too far down the road, and they have a sign out there, not your grandma's church. We're out knocking doors. They say, well, what kind of church is it? I'll say, it's your grandma's church. Aren't you glad for that? Old-time preaching still works. God's interested in that. But when a Christian says, you know what, it's not about me anymore, I remember it was at this altar, Pastor Carter, that I surrendered to the Lord. It was at this church I found my wife, graduated college. You got to realize back then I was just a shy boy, old boy, just sitting in the pew, loved my preacher, loved the church, never thought I could do anything for the Lord. I just wanted to do something, even if it was small. And I gave my life to the Lord, and he led me up to Romania where we served with the Morgan family for 8 years. Never imagined that. And then coming back and taking a church, a small country church with 18 people, I thought, well, you know, this is manageable. 18 people. Monday morning after the vote, I was sitting in my office and the weight of my went on my shoulders. I thought, I'm a pastor. I'd never been a pastor before. These people are coming to me for advice, and Lord, I don't know what to do. And I remember getting, God, I didn't realize the weight that was put upon me. And here I'm sitting there as pastor in this office, and they're coming with real problems and real issues. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to have your help, and I need some help from you. And I remember just sitting there saying, Lord, I don't know what I can do, but Lord, I want to plant grapes. I want to plant fruit. Lord, here's my life. And I look back, and little did I know God would take a country church out in the middle of nowhere and grow us up to over 200 now and see souls saved and people baptized and families getting right. God still works. He's interested, but it takes someone who will recognize, hey, I'm planting flowers and I'm going to stop. God, I want to start planting fruit. I want to give my life. And he's not going to tell you what it's going to be. He won't tell you where you're going to end up, but I can promise you, you'll be the happiest person in the world when you start planting grapes, fruit, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads us to our last point. We see the similarities of the flower. We see you can easily be busy, one or the other. We see the selflessness of fruit, but then lastly, I see the smile of our Father. You know, it'll be all worth it when we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The glory of man, it comes and goes. We're not worried about what people think. We're not worried about the approval of man. We're not trying to find out what the world wants and then make our church accordingly. We're trying to do what God wants. Amen. And when it's all said and done, and God reaches down and there's fruit to be gathered, there's a smile on their Father's face. You see, it's all about pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about you, not about me. Romans chapter 12, you probably could quote verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy! That's another word not used very much anymore. Acceptable unto God, which is your... You know what he says? Oh, I'm going to give up my flowers for you, Lord. God says, that's not a sacrifice. That's reasonable. oh, that's reasonable to take the things that'll pass away and they'll wilt and they'll be gone before you know it, and trade it for something that has eternal value. Oh, if God can use someone like me, and most of you know me, shy as could be, bashful, if God can use someone like me, I promise you, if you'll quit planting flowers and say, you know what, I'm full-time Christian, I'm gonna live for God 100% of the time, I promise you there's something in the ministry for you. There's a spot that God can use you at. There's something you may not even, when we surrendered as a newly married couple, we came and we surrendered at this altar and we said, Lord, whatever you want. At that time, I was working at a furniture store and working my way up in management and enjoyed where I was. We were busy in the ministry, Sunday school, choir, all these bus routes and nursing home ministries. We were serving the Lord. And when we laid at the altar and said, Lord, anything you want, we absolutely meant it. We never thought it meant missions. Never thought it meant pastoring. Never in our wildest imagination. You know what? God took me up on it. It wasn't long after that, Brother Morgan was preaching here. And the whole time he was preaching, God reminded me of my promise. You said you'd quit planting flowers. You said you'd serve me. Here's your chance. And I remember I was pale. I was so scared that I didn't even shake Brother Morgan's hand. I couldn't go to the altar that night. I didn't imagine when I said anything, God would mean missions. That wasn't in my mind. But can I tell you, when we finally submitted and we went, we look back and we think, you know what? Those are the greatest times, serving God. And then God moves us into the pastorate in Ohio, and I thought, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do it, but here I go, Lord. I look back and I think, wow, God's good. If you'll just give him your life, just commit to live for him. Get the flowers, get them away, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Not what it says, is it? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If you can get past the shallow Christianity of the preacher didn't shake my hand, they didn't acknowledge me, nobody really appreciates what I do, and get past the, it's not about the flower of glory, it's not about the flower of prestige and honor of men, that's all going to be gone one day. But you know what's going to be faithful? I think of Sister Green, who's mentioned, I mentioned her already. She's over there praying. She's praying for us by name. She prays for you folks. I know that she does, and she's asked about several people already. You know, it's people like that. There's no flower there. It goes unnoticed, but God says, that's when I'm ready for a grape. I can reach down and I know there'll be a grape waiting for me. It'll be fresh fruit. What is your life? Could you evaluate that this evening? Can I just encourage you? I'm certainly no picture, no trophy to be looked up to, but I can tell you this, just as an individual sitting in the pew, sitting where you used to sit, where you are sitting, I gave God my life, and it's the greatest thing he ever did. He's done so much through me, and I failed him many times over. But I want God to find fruit in my life when it's all said and done. It won't matter what kind of a job I had. It won't matter the flowers that I've collected. What will matter is what we did for the Lord. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Landmark Baptist Church. I thank you for my pastor. I thank you for my mentors that are sitting in this room. And God, it's with great honor I'm here tonight. And God, I just want to testify before this church, Lord, that you are good and you're worthy of any sacrifice that we may make. But God, as you described to the people there in the Old Testament, as you were looking for fruit, all you found was flowers. May it not be said of our church. May it not be said of our Christian life. May it not be said of our home that we're just busy planting beautiful flowers that are going to wilt and fade. God, may we have substance to our home. May we be about your business. May we be reaching souls and getting that gospel message out and living for you, and Lord, a life that has eternal value. God, I pray tonight that if there's a garden here that's lacking fruit, that tonight, Lord, you'd find hollow ground, that they would come and they would break that hollow ground, Lord, at this altar, and lay here, Lord, as Lord, I did, and just say, here's my life, Lord. I don't know what it means, but Lord, here it is. I'm going to start growing fruit. Lord, I pray you'd find that spirit tonight. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's not saved. I don't know the hearts. Lord, help them to realize the greatest thing that can happen is to know you as Savior. That it's not by works, as we saw in Scripture. No one gets saved by being a good person and living the Christian life. But it's by your blood, Jesus Christ, what you said for us. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way this invitation now.